it's all too clear.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program once again right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. You know, here we are, December the 4th, and it just doesn't seem like that long ago that I was lamenting the fact that I missed saying 10-4, good buddy, on October the 4th. That was 2 months ago. 2 months ago, and here we are already. You know, time really does just continue to fly on by, and I don't know that I fully recovered from last Christmas, and here we are at this Christmas already. But we are praying that you are having a good day. If you are hot under the collar, or if you are a little too cool in your house, Creative AC Solutions has a solution to your problem. You can call them at 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. And have them come out and take a look at your system if you're in the central part of Brevard County, and they can get you fixed up. They can take care of the problem, and if it's fixable, they can fix it. If they can give it just a little bit more life, they can do that and tell you you need to be preparing for an upgrade, if you will. But one thing's for sure, they're skilled at what they do. They treat you fair. They love Jesus and love to talk about Jesus too. So if you need someone to come out that you can trust to take care of your system, give Creative AC Solutions a call, 321-759-3284. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So we are back tonight with our Wednesday night service. We had no Wednesday night service last week, and we will be back to Sunday night service this coming Sunday, and we really look forward to you joining us as we continue to go through our Bible study and to grow in our faith. So we recently started providing for our members, for those who attend, our visitors, free access to the Right Now Media Library. We're still fledgling in that, but if you would like to grow in your faith, drop by Merritt Assembly of God and check us out, and we can give you free access to thousands and thousands of hours of Christian material that it will not only be entertaining, but it will also be educational and help you to grow in your faith. I'm going through a study on there right now, something I've wanted to go through. I've bought the book, and I keep reading the same part of the book, and I've watched the video before, and so I'm trying to get through this time to avail myself of the material that is available to me. So if you would like to be a participant of that or a recipient of that, come to one of our services. We'll provide you that information, and you can log on. It's absolutely free to you. It is a gift. It is a blessing from Merritt Assembly of God to those who are a part of our congregation. If you don't have a church and you'd like to, you have access to a computer and you can watch videos and listen to audio, contact us at our church office, and we can see about getting you that information as well. I want to take you back to the book of Exodus today. I've read my Bible through, lots and lots and lots of times, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of times. And honestly, as I was studying for this series on You Shall Not Covet, anything that belongs to your neighbor, first time that I do remember ever paying attention to this part of this verse. And we're going to be in Exodus, the 34th chapter. I'm going to read three verses for you today. Exodus chapter 34, verse number 22, where we're going to begin. We're going to go through verse 24. And we're going to move from this to Deuteronomy chapter 7 and probably Joshua chapter 7, if we can get through all of that material today. We will you will see a benefit to your life from not participating in the sin of coveting that which belongs to someone else. So Exodus chapter 34, verse number 22 says, "And you shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruits of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Three times in the year, all your men shall appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in a year." So let me explain what was going on here. There, the people of Israel were scattered. They were going to be scattered throughout the Promised Land. They were not going to be all congregated in one spot. However, God instructed and commanded Moses that three times a year, all of the men were supposed to leave their location and they were supposed to migrate to what would be Jerusalem to where they would worship the Lord. And so at that point in time, they would not be working. And the fact that they provided the defense for their house, that was something they were not going to be able to do. This, complying with this command to worship God, on these three occasions, was going to, first of all, cause them loss of income. It was going to increase their expense, and it was going to also create a vulnerability for them in their life. Now, that doesn't mean that was the only three times of the year that they were to worship. They would worship on the Sabbath every day. That was a given. In fact, back in those days, not worshiping on the Sabbath was a very, very serious matter that resulted in you being cut off from your people. They placed a high value. It was not only in their situation, but Jesus also made it his habit to be in the synagogue on a regular basis every Sabbath. He was there, so it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be arbitrary for us. It shouldn't be just based on convenience. It should be, a high level of commitment on our part to say, God, you are the most important person in my life. So God speaks to Moses here in Exodus chapter 34, and he says, these are the three times, and all of the men are supposed to appear before the Lord. They're supposed to be present for worship on these three occasions. And so there was a loss of income, an increase of an expense, and an increase in vulnerability. Now listen to what God tells them in verse number 24. Sorry, I have a little bit of a tickle in my throat this morning. I will cast out the nations before you. What he says is, I'm going to remove the enemies from your land, to where you're not going to have to worry about a loss of agriculture. Whenever you appear before the Lord, the enemies are not going to come in and invade the land. When you are obediently worshiping me, when you are giving me your wholehearted worship, I'm going to make sure that the enemies that were there before you, that they are removed and they're not a problem for you anymore. So all of a sudden you have an expenditure that is not going out because you're not having to worry about the defense that you might have for your town, your village, your tribe. And so God says, I'm going to be your shield, your fortress, your protection. The second thing he says in verse number 24 is, I'm going to enlarge your borders. So instead of there being a decrease, God says, whenever you are walking in obedient worship to me, it is going to result in increase in your life, not decrease. Your life is going to get better. Your sphere of influence is going to increase. The amount of land that is entrusted to your stewardship is going to increase. You know, Jeremiah chapter 29, even though you are in the land of Babylon, increase there, do not decrease. There's what God says is whenever you worship me, you're never going to be worse off because of the experience. Let me ask you, when was the last time that you went to church and you were so fully engaged in the process that when you got home, you knew that you had worshiped the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, because your natural resources were exhausted, but your supernatural resources had been enriched? I encourage you to say, you know what? I'm not going to church just as a silent observer. I'm going as a participant. I'm part of this wonderful thing called the body of Christ, and I am going to be fully engaged, body, soul, and spirit, in worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When we do that, God says, I'm going to call you from that place of obscurity. I'm going to call you to a higher place. Jesus is always looking for the people who said, you know what? I consider myself to be the least. And God says, well, I don't consider you to be the least. I consider you to be of great value. And he calls you to a higher place. God will enlarge your borders. I fully expect borders to enlarge whenever we worship God the way that God wants to be worshiped. And the last thing is very, very interesting to me. It says, neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in the year. God says, when you've worshiped me the way that I have told you to worship me, he says, I am going to do a work in the heart of your enemies. Listen, it doesn't say that their land would be any less attractive. What it says is that God is going to work inside the heart of men that would ordinarily long to take advantage of another person while they are vulnerable. God says, I'm going to work in your enemies' hearts, and they're not even going to covet the thing that looks so absolutely desirable. I think that is a wonderful thing. Do you have anybody in your life that, you know, they're constantly looking for your vulnerabilities, your weaknesses? They're looking to take advantage of you. Maybe it's a coworker that is constantly looking to take advantage of any misstep that you might make. There might be a person that they can't wait for you to say something or do something so they can go scurrying off and they can try and undermine you. I want to challenge you to not only pray for that person, but as you are worshiping the Lord, as part of your expectation of how God is going to move in your life, say, God, I'm thankful that you have the capabilities and are willing and able to change their heart. God changes unbelievers' hearts while we're worshiping the Lord. He takes people who it is innate inside of them to covet that which you have, and he says, I'm going to change their heart. They're not going to see you as their next victim. They're going to see you as the blessed of the Lord. That's pretty exciting to me. Deuteronomy chapter 7 is something that is along the same line. Deuteronomy chapter 7, it's the last of the books of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Got my pages turning here. And we are going to begin reading in verse number 17. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them. But you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left who hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. So here we talked about that when you were worshiping the Lord, God was going to work in the heart of the enemies. Here he says, I'm going to bring you complete and total victory. And when you see the things that your enemies had, when you see their gold and their silver, when you see their idols and the possessions that they had, do not set your heart upon it. Remember, that's what the word covet means, to set your heart upon it. Do not long for those things that brought about their own destruction. Do not covet the wealth of those God is delivering to you. That means that God is working in us. We are not looking at other people as, you know, the next victim that we might benefit from. That's not the way it's supposed to operate at all. We don't rejoice over other people's misfortune. We don't rejoice over another person's demise. If a person dies in their sin, we actually should feel very mournful about that, because there's appointed unto man once to die and then comes the judgment. That means that there's no more opportunity for them to repent of their sins. So it is definitely not something to rejoice. Don't rejoice. Do not covet the wealth of those God is delivering you from. It isn't the money. It's the spiritual abomination. That's what is taking place there. Instead of setting your heart upon it, you've got to say, you know what? These were the things that they treasured, and it led to their own destruction. It led to their own destruction. I don't want to be hard of learning when it comes to seeing or appreciating the lessons that I can learn without having to go through the school of hard knocks myself. If I see that something has destroyed another person's life, I don't want to covet that. I want to recognize that it is something that I want to stay far, far away from. So I have a conversation with people from time to time. Primarily it has to do with alcohol. It's not that I've never had the opportunity to have alcohol. I tasted it once when I was very, very young. It was absolutely disgusting in taste. People say it's an acquired taste. Well, it's something that I don't want to acquire. The reason as an adult, as a teenager, that I didn't participate in that is by that time I had seen lives destroyed. I saw that there was nothing good that would come about it out of it. And since then, I have seen way too many preachers whose mugshots have ended up on television because of those sorts of things. And so I looked at the thing that some people deemed made them cool. And I said, you know what? I don't think that's going to be something that edifies Bob. I see the potential for devastating Bob. And I want to recognize that that's not something I want to bring into my house. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we could learn and appreciate by not bringing into our house. We don't need to bring drugs in. Listen, parents, if you don't want to have, you know, more than your fair share of problems with your teenagers, then don't introduce them to drugs. For heaven's sake, don't do that. I know parents who've done that. It makes my blood want to boil because of people who've done things like that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to train my children in the area, or my grandchildren in the area of immorality. I don't want to bring that into my house. We need to recognize and say, you know what? There are things that the devil offers that the world is coveting that I don't look at as something that I should set my heart upon. I should look to avoid that stuff at all costs. And so it goes on in verse number 26, and it says, here in chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, it says, you shall utterly detest, utterly abhor, for it is an accursed thing. The things that brought about the destruction of your enemies, look at it as something that is utterly disgusting, utterly detestable, something that you absolutely hate in your own life. You don't want to have anything to do with it, and recognize that that thing is not going to bring blessing into your life, but coveting, it will not bring blessing, but cursing in your life. It'll bring destruction. And when we have that mindset, we say, look, I am not setting my heart on that. Don't chase the devil's fantasies. Just don't do it. Over one more book in Joshua chapter 7, what does it look like when you have that opportunity? Okay. Now, as we get into this just a little bit, I'll explain something in a little bit detail, a little bit more detail. Verse number 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. And I want you to know that Achan ended up dying as a result of the sin of coveting. What happened was in Joshua chapter 7, he did exactly what Israel was commanded not to do in Deuteronomy chapter 7. God wants the very best that we have to offer. He wants the first fruits. So when they went into Jericho and they conquered that great town, that great city, he said, everything in this belongs to me. The money belongs to me. The garments belong to me. They're everything in here, because it is the first fruits of the promised land that I am bringing you into, not because of how great you are, but of how corrupt and how abominable and abhorrent the people of this land were. When you come in, the first fruits, they belong to me. Don't touch the cursed thing. And Achan goes in, and first of all, he sees this beautiful Babylonian garment. And it seems like, you know, there's probably not another one like it in the world. And what's God need with a Babylonian garment? Absolutely nothing. And so Achan coveted what he saw, and he took it for himself. He found some silver, and he took that. He found some gold, and he took that. And what Achan didn't realize was that the prohibition on taking things for themselves from Jericho wasn't about them. It was about honoring God with the first fruits. Because whenever they got to Ai and whenever they got to any of the rest of the people that they vanquished, God said, split that up amongst everybody in the camp. It wasn't God saying, you're not going to ever be have your needs taken care of by me. You've just got to remember to honor me. And Achan, his coveting destroyed him. It started off with a sight. It started off with his eyes. That's why we have to be very careful to guard our eye gates. Somebody asked me one time, they said, when was the last time you went looking for a car? I said, I don't go looking for a car, because if I go looking for a car, I'm going to want to buy a car. So if I don't want to buy something, I don't go looking for it. I'm not looking for ways to spend money. I'm looking to make things last as long as I can. But there is a tremendous connection. First of all, there's a connection between what you see and your heart. Second, there's a connection between what you see and your wallet. And we've got to be careful. We've got to guard what we look at. I remember driving down the road one day, and I looked over and saw a billboard. And when I looked up, I realized that my car had veered a little bit from the center of the lane that I was driving in, a little bit towards the curb. In just that instant of just looking up at a billboard, wherever my eyes went, my hands automatically directed my car to. And it's like, you know what? You can't afford to be distracted when you are on an important journey. And Achan did not detest and abhor the things that God had said not to covet. Instead, he gave into that coveting. And I will tell you this, he did it in secret, but God knew all about it. You may not have been found out by any human being yet. You might think that you have gotten away with some things. I want you to realize you're not pulling a fast one over on God. Today, don't set your heart on things of this world. Set your heart on Jesus and let him fulfill the desires of your heart. Life's a lot better that way. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Shaken up, I'm falling down.